I had a couple of things in mind at the end. One was just to have a little bit of time if you had questions or suggestions or issues that you want to talk about. And then if we have time after that, I put together a totally arbitrary compendium of music about and from the West. That came about in part because years ago, even before I started teaching about the West, I used to teach a course on American popular song with a now departed Peabody music historian colleague. And we began around 1800, and we ended up usually somewhere around rap, but it was a survey of American popular song. That interest kind of collided with the interest in Western history. I'd never liked Western music growing up hearing it, except Texas swing, which we heard a lot of when I was a kid in the Sacramento Valley, which is not represented on this little presentation. But the more I began to think about it, the more it seemed to me there is just a weird and wild variety of music about the American West or from the American West. So there's nothing really academic about what's on the MP3 player. Something academic will probably creep in because that's my job and I can't help it. But it's mostly a kind of musing about the variety of music related to the West. So that's the agenda. I've made the announcement. Are there issues you'd like to talk about
Where
or
do we get our
questions?
CE certificates?
We're going to have to. We didn't
Our
bring a
Johns
printer,
Hopkins
so.
diploma. Isn't that
Yes.
why we're all here?
See, that's Marguerite's job.
Oh, it's in the mail.
It will be in the mail, along with a dun for alumni dues, probably. So, but any questions?
It's 4 o'clock, the stampede goes by.
Okay. All right. Okay, we'll then go right into the Western music. This technology is a new one to me. I am very lucky teaching at Hopkins and usually having one of the electronic classrooms, and sometimes actually having somebody who knows, or people who know what they're doing it for me. This is going to be done from MP3 player, and as you'll see, cheap speakers without a lot of power. I don't like the distinction between high and low culture. I spend time trashing it when I teach about American popular culture, but I discovered that I'm doing exactly that in terms of the way I put together the webcast. So I'm going to start with an opera and see what you think of it. You can probably guess what it is, but I'll play about a minute and a half of one of the arias toward the end. I've actually mentioned the opera a couple of times, and I've given you one bit of misinformation about it I discovered. So here we go. This is the hero. You can tell because he's a tenor. He's a man about to be hung.
Oh,
Yeah. Who all knows the opera?
Yeah.
One, yes, one. That doesn't.
I think it starts with
Oh,
Orleans, it ends in the west.
There were two ends over here.
No, I was pointing at you.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
name that tune.
La Fanchula del West.
Translated as The Girl of the Golden West, usually. The composer, and there's a bit in that aria that actually sounds very much like a more famous aria by him. Puccini, yeah. Yeah.
The two Richards have got this nailed.
It's Puccini, and there's several things that fascinate me about this. The first is why the Italians seem to like the American West. I'll play another Italian who has written music about the American West. And the Germans love the American West, and in fact, one of the most prolific writers about the West was a German named Karl May. And the Germans regularly make pilgrimages to New Mexico, to where he set his novels. Even though May himself never visited that part of the U.S., I'm fascinated by Puccini's fascination. The opera itself premiered, I thought, in San Francisco. It premiered in New York in 1910 with Caruso singing the lead, and the character you heard, Dick Johnson, is a bandit with a heart of gold who's saved by the bar, the woman who owns the bar, who has a heart of gold. And they ride off in an aria singing Chow, California. It's an opera worth seeing if only to watch cowboys walking around saying Chow to each other. But they're funny. I don't know a whole lot about Puccini, but they're funny ways in which America seems to have fascinated him. The play on which this is based was by a guy named David Belasco, who was a famous playwright, theater entrepreneur. Puccini took another story from Belasco a little bit before this that's more famous. Does anyone want to hazard a guess on that? Yeah. Madama Butterfly.
Yes.
Yeah, it was an American short story that Belasco turned into a play that Puccini liked. And so one of his great operas and one of his mediocre operas come from American themes. I'm going to play another piece written in the classical idiom that's very different. And I think some of you are going to recognize this one because it's pretty well known. Whoops, somehow.
Is the origin of the spaghetti western?
I've wondered about that, actually, whether...
Speaking of Italian fascination for the
West. Well, I'll say something about, since you've evoked the spaghetti western, there's a wonderful essay by Peter Bogdanovich, the director, but who's also written, interestingly, on film. He worked as either a second crewman, or second director, second cinematographer for Sergio Leone. And he had a horrible time working for Leone because Bogdanovich had been trained in the American style of cinematography where you do a lot of medium shots. And Leone either wanted big shots, long shots, or he wanted part of the face, the eye, filling the whole frame. And Bogdanovich in the essay says he finally got it when he realized that that Leone thought in terms of opera. That he wasn't thinking in terms of the classic American Western, that the setting was the West, but it was really, the West was operatic for Leone. However that may be, that might explain some things about Leone Westerns. Okay. Copland, yes, you named that tune right away. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Play about a minute of it.
Yeah.
So you like this better than Puccini? So we have two votes for Copeland.
The problem is visualizing Caruso on a horse.
Yeah, I think a horse would have that problem too. Okay. Could you hear anything that sounded Western to you in the Puccini aria? Would you have identified it as Western if you just heard it cold?
The first piece.
Yeah, the Puccini.
Okay. You said it was about the West.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you obviously had a little hint. But what about this?
Totally.
And
the square dancey type.
Yeah, so you got a lot of musical signifiers in there. You've got the hoof beats, the square dance type. What was the other somebody mentioned?
The square dance.
Okay, the fiddles.
The wagon racing down the street.
Yeah. Big wide establishing shot.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it's the musical equivalent of a Western.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, a little backstory about Copland. He of course wrote a lot of stuff on American themes, which you might expect of an American composer. There are a couple of interesting stories, though, how Copland, whom I doubt ever rode a horse, I might be wrong about that, but he had radically different political reasons for writing stuff about the West. One was he was very much on the left in the 1930s, allied with quite radical musicians and composers. And in the 1930s, the left, including the communist left, which was quite open, not underground at all, promoted the common man, the notion of the common person. So immediately, you've got Copland's fanfare for the common man. So Copland's 30s left politics kind of pushed him toward a sympathy for cowboys, others, outsiders. He got very, very worried right after World War II, in the Cold War, the McCarthy era, worried about his politics catching up with him. But he could make a very easy transition by the common man and as a patriotic theme. So Copland's interest in common people, the West, the exotic, the working people, was consistent. It's just the political valence that he put on it. I also like Copland, too, for that matter. Something else, of course, that the West has inspired has been memorable movie music. And what do you think I'm going to play? Oh, you got it right off. Yes.
I didn't hear what he said.
Okay, well, you'll recognize it. Wait, this is skipping on me here.
Oh, Bonanza. That's a good one, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, the funny thing is that the Prickly Pear sang two songs I'm going to talk about, one here and one in the poem.
Oh, there's one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too. Speaking of spaghetti
Western. I'm sorry, I can't get the volume up more.
We were
playing that yesterday in
on the street.
Oh,
fun.
Okay.
I'm not aware of that when I watch the movie.
That's interesting. You're not aware of it watching the movie.
I hear things there that I'm totally new.
Yeah. Well, that's only one of several bits of music that Ennio Morricone did for spaghetti westerns. He also did a lot of other movie music. I hadn't realized that he'd done the score for a film on Sacco and Vanzetti, for example, the American anarchists who were executed in the 1920s. He also is apparently highly regarded by a number of musicians. Yo-Yo Ma has recorded an album entirely of Ennio Morricone compositions. I thought about checking it. We actually own it to see if Yo-Yo Ma did The Good and the Bad and the Ugly, but it couldn't possibly match the the movie version. But what's going on in that song? What's Western about that, or is there anything that sounds Western?
The tumbleweeds.
The tumbleweed sound?
Can you hear them?
Sort of maracas. It sounds sort of Mexican.
Galloping.
Does it have a galloping again? Yes.
Yeah. The sound of space.
Yeah.
The whistling.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Across the plains.
Okay.
Yes.
In the way?
Spurs.
The spurs, the jangle.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay, so what's interesting to me here is that these are all familiar songs, but you're developing a kind of long list of musical signifiers for the West. And they're coming from odd sources. If you notice the composers here, Puccini, who again probably never rode a horse, Copland, the same, very East Coast, very New York. Kind of guy, Ennio Morricone. Okay, so these are Western songs coming from non-Westerners. I'm going to play another Western-themed song from somebody who is definitely not a West Coast or a Western kind of guy, but it represents another tradition in which there's a body of music, a body of performances about the West. See if you recognize this one. Ethel Merman, yeah.
Kate Jackson.
And now tell me, what have I got? I'm quick on the trigger with targets not much bigger than a pinpoint. I'm number one. But my score with a feller is lower than a seller. Oh, you can't get a man with a gun. When I'm with a pistol, I sparkle like a crystal. Yes, I shine like the morning sun. But I lose all my luster when with a Bronco Buster. Oh, you can't get a man with a gun. With a gun, with a gun. No, you can't get a man.
Okay, anyone know the great Western composer who wrote that?
Was that Irving Berlin?
Irving Berlin. Mm. Yeah, somebody again who probably never rode a horse. Berlin, however, was a master of writing about people who knew nothing about and recycling songs. If you look at his song corpus, he's got one, Oh, How That German Could Love, Oh, How That Italian Could Love. He just kept doing these songs. The Onion also gets it right. I cited The Onion's Our Dumb Century. It has a headline to the effect that Irving Berlin writes a thousandth annoying ditty. I like some of Irving Berlin's music, but you've got Annie Get Your Gun, which I think was revived about 10 years ago with Reba McEntire. Is that, yeah, that correct? So that is still around. Can you think of any other musicals?
Taylor Swift is doing it this summer. She's going to do 2 months of Annie on Broadway. I read somewhere.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. So Taylor Swift doing Annie. That
I believe that's correct.
You can always redo it in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think you could probably, I can only make a mediocre list of musicals about the West, but you've got Oklahoma.
Paint Your Wagon.
Paint Your Wagon. Has a lovely song that was a hit for, I think, the Kingston Trio. They call the, what?
Win Mariah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
I used to love Calamity Jane.
Yeah.
So do women write Western music?
I will get, wonderful you should say that. Yeah, you just gave me
the shills in the audience are coming through.
Yes, I mean you've got my number, I guess. I'm going to move away from Broadway though to country music, and something I've mentioned in passing before that is kind of puzzling. I wish I understood it better, but it's how we move from country and Western music, the category in the 30s, to country music, and the Western dropped out. But something, two things are striking to me about what happened after the Western dropped out of country and Western. And that is, again, I mentioned this before, that the Western gear didn't drop out. That you've got cowboy male performers wearing Western gear. And they're kind of shades of Westernness. There's a Texas group, Big and Rich, that is very much Western. And they're even promoting a guy who calls himself Cowboy Troy. He's African-American, wears cowboy garb, and sings what he calls blackneck music.
Well, Darius Rucker is the hottest thing.
Yeah.
The hoodie and the blowfish.
Yeah, so you get these sort of weird Western references in ways that they don't seem terribly appropriate.